annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
It is Season 2, Episode 14 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
Guess who I am by my voice.
Oh, I know who you are. I think everyone knows who you are.
And guess who this idiot is by his voice.
Canberra's favourite fighting son.
Talking takedowns with Duke Didier, filling in for Steve Payos. Fantastic. Fellas, big weekend. Firstly, I want to start off, Benny, with a little video you posted on Friday night. You got taken to a JIT/JIS comp.
Yeah.
And
Duke put me in it.
Yeah. Sure. Who was this?
He just wanted a night off training.
Okay. And and a new move has been invented, named by one of your fans, the Gover team.
Oh, I didn't sign up for this.
I didn't name it, but fuck, I'll take it.
Mate, that was, as you said, it was more brute force than finesse. But, dude, guys, you know, our size, there is no finesse. It is all brute force. So, well,
no, there is finesse.
Yeah, but you're
and
a minnow.
And considering we never even spoke about it in training, let alone drilled it, Duke's taking full credit.
I taught him everything he knows.
Because that looked to be in the footage you put up, looked to be a pretty decent sized fella you were up against.
Yeah, no, it was actually, it was good, man. There was five of us, including me.
Yeah.
And we're all decent sized dudes. But there's one kid who was only like bloody, 18 or something, the Polynesian fella. A lot of potential for the future, man.
Yep.
But no, it was awesome. I mean, getting there with some new guys, and the intensity is so different. Even in the first match, which went for like 4 minutes something, my forearms were absolutely fried. You don't get that in training. There's a different intensity when it's someone you don't know and it's a competition. So
yeah.
I'm really happy I went in.
Well, that's the other thing with Ben is that he's training plenty. Like, he's doing all this grappling, but he's doing it with like pretty high level guys. So it's good for him to get in there with guys, you know, he's similar experience level in the grappling sense.
Yep.
And he's testing himself out and he's seeing how far he's come.
Yep.
So it's really, really good. And I'm just really happy that not that he's winning the fights, but he's learning every time. And you take these leaps and bounds, and it's the only way to get better is doing these little competitions.
Yeah.
It's so good for my confidence too. Like, even like, I took myself down. We're working on just some basic takedowns on the Wednesday. I had the comp on the Friday. And I screwed it up, ended up on my ass, but used one of the escapes Duke showed me to get out of it within like 20 seconds. So
awesome.
It's good to get in a bad position and get out of it. So that was awesome night.
Well, as we said,
I'm 7-0 in jiu-jitsu, man.
As we said in your last fight against Sasoli, it was good that you ended up on your back and everyone in that room went, oh, crap, he's dead.
Yeah.
And you weren't dead and you got out of it and you won. I think that was the best thing that could have happened for you in that fight.
Completely agree. 100%,
that's what I said. As soon as I ran in the cage, that's what I said to Benny straight away. You got taken down, you got tested, you got back up.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect best part. Well, if you just knocked him out, well, what's the difference between that and he's all these kickboxing fights?
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Especially now I can actually go on and fight some bangers and all that sort of thing because I've been in that position, got out of it. There's none of that question mark next to me anymore. So now I can take some more exciting fights similar styles to me.
Nice. Well, speaking of fighting, we're going to be joined a little bit later on by Rob Oakley from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. Their big Fight Night 3 is on the way. It's the last year, Benny, you were the headline act with
Zani Beck.
Yeah, Zani Beck, that's him, with Brani. And it was a great night. And this time around, it's all amateurs. They're all people who are having a crack. And I know Ben Reed's had a fair bit to do with putting some of the matches together. So it'll be a great night. Rob will tell us all about that. But Saturday, October 21, the Hellenic Club, and there's a special deal at the Hellenic Club that you'll hear about a bit later where you can get 2-for-1 tickets for reserve seats there this year. And every cent goes to the charity, which helps people struggling with muscular dystrophy, which is what my dad's got. It's an absolute mongrel of a disease, no cure, about 9 different types of it, which is why it's been so hard for them to find a cure because they make inroads on one and it doesn't work on all the other strains of it. So it's a real bitch of a disease, that one. So
we're chipping away at it, though.
That's it. That's what it's all about. You're filling in again for Steve. Steve's off on another government-paid jaunt. He's back next week. Then you're going to be with us for our final regular show, which will come out just before October 30. So that week before October 30, I think the 26th of October. Then we're going to do a Christmas one just after Ben's fought and you fought.
I fucking love Christmas.
So do I, man.
If we both win, I'm going to be sitting here blind and I'm going to have 5.
That's so gross.
Oh, man. That's going to be interesting.
Ben Edwards, everybody.
So, and just speaking of your fight, Benny, too, you said November 4 is not happening now. It's been pushed back a bit.
Got pushed back 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, not really sure why.
All right. No, so November 17th. November 17th.
Yeah, it's
definitely.
Definitely, most likely. November 17th.
We'll keep you informed here on the podcast. Let's get stuck into it. We've got plenty to get through tonight. A top five coming up. Obviously, UFC 216 and some interesting stuff with UFC 217 on the horizon. But right now, Liam Gallagher, he's back. He's got his first solo record out. For What It's Worth is the name of this one. Let's get stuck into it. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 2, episode 14. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. In my defense, all my intentions were good. And heaven holds a place somewhere for the misunderstood. You know I'd give you blood if it'd be enough. Devil's on my doorstep since the day I was born. It's hard to find. Time.
For What It's Worth by Liam Gallagher on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
That's fantastic. I love, everyone's just bungs on the radio voice when they do their back announce on the podcast. It's awesome. I love,
Duke's
except
radio.
Payoffs.
Duke's radio and talking to chicks' voice are very similar.
talking to chicks' voice.
That was like my mum, man.
Oh, hey.
When we first got a phone, my mum would kill me for saying this, but when we didn't get a phone till I was in like year eight.
Yeah.
And then your mum would be screaming at us and the phone would ring and she'd be like, hello, Marie speaking. Yeah. And the minute the phone goes down, she's like, what are you doing? Just how it happened. Yeah, pretty much. I deserved every one of them. Let's get stuck into this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow.
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Did you point at me?
I did, Benny.
All right. I mean, it's just time to talk. It's UFC 216 went down to the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas 6 days after the shooting and only about 100 metres away from where it happened. The UFC actually pledged $1 million to the families and everyone affected.
Oh, that's cool.
For the thing. And a whole bunch of casinos have all gotten together to help out. And these casinos, they're in business. They ain't friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vegas has really come together.
Well, I mean, it's funny. We record this podcast on a Monday night. And as it had just happened, Steve had mentioned it for the uppercut at the end of the show. We didn't realise the enormity of it. We thought just a couple of people had died. 58
and then dead, nearly 500 injured.
You guys left and I remember going to bed looking on the iPad going, holy crap. Just wow.
That footage was unbelievable. I actually watched that and I'm not trying to downplay or make light of the situation. I watched Terminator 2 last night when he's out the building with the minigun.
The minigun.
And I was just, all I was thinking was, holy shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That just fucking happened.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
I mean, we've spoken about American gun laws a million times on this podcast, but and the fact that they've all just gone, oh, no, now's not the time to talk about
it. But we like our guns.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only reason. They like them.
Well, it's just like Jim Jeffries said. It's like, you know, when Sandy Hook happened, it's just like, we just want to take away your big guns. No. And that's just how it's going to be. But good that the UFC is obviously getting behind it because a lot of their business is done.
They put up a really good video at the start of the show. Yeah, really
a lot of their business obviously done in Vegas. So smart move from the
Dana's
UFC.
Dana's been living there since he got run out of Boston by Whitey Bulger. But that's another story. So the 216 was originally supposed to be headlined by Stipe Miocic versus Cain Velasquez for the heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. But as a running theme in Cain's life, guess what he is? He's injured. He's just one of those guys. If he can make it to the cage,
he's the best.
Yeah,
if he makes it.
But he trains so ridiculously hard that he's not even 50-50.
I'd actually pick him against me. Really?
You reckon?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
If he makes it. If he makes it to the cage, he's the best. I think he's the best heavyweight still. He lost that one fight to Wadoom and that's it.
Yeah.
Like he got caught.
Junior. And Verdun,
Junior, and he got caught against Junior as well. Those two fights he lost, he
just lost the one moment. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, well, I think with Fabrizio was altitude. Sea level came though.
Yeah,
that's different. 8,000 feet.
He's a bad man.
He's awesome. He's awesome. I was actually watched the fights yesterday with my mate Bernard Goonan, who wrestled Kane in college.
In the States,
which was pretty cool. So. After that fight was scrapped, we finally got the number one lightweight contender. The season where Brock went against Junior in the Ultimate Fighter House, the guy that won it, Tony Ferguson, he's 26-3, taking on the surging number seven lightweight, Kevin Lee, who's 19 wins with only three losses. Looked at the weigh-ins, Tony weighed in fine. He looked $1 million, but Kevin Lee looked absolutely awful. He had to weigh in twice. His eyes were sunk in.
He cut 20 pounds on fight week.
Unbelievable.
Holy crap. And that's at about 4.5 kilos.
No, that's about 12 kilos.
It's, yeah.
Two and a half pounds a kilo. 2.2 pounds is a kilo.
It's a shitload and he's shredded and it's all.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
And he looked terrible. He later contributed some of the difficulty to a staph infection, which I know all about because Duke gave it to me.
I did not give him anything, hey.
But staph.
People at home, I didn't give him anything.
That's the first time you've said that,
with the staph infection, he... You get put on a drip. There's obviously a lot of salt in saline.
It wasn't gone. It was a massive infection on his chest. Like it would have affected him 100%. He'd be still on antibiotics for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
I think
two experts here on staff.
Yeah, we know. And some other stuff.
The staff brothers.
But staff infection aside, he has been fighting at that weight since he was a teenager. He reckons he's naturally getting heavier and stronger as he gets older. He's going to go up to welterweight now. Now, I actually picked, after the weigh-in, I picked Ferguson to win anyway, but after the weigh-in, I certainly thought Kevin was going to gas against the fitness machine, Tony Ferguson. Mm. He gets hit all the time. He's super fit. He always comes back. We're all correct. He was a third round triangle choke submission. Yeah. He's now on a 10-fight win streak. Now, here's Kevin talking about the loss and the staph infection.
Your emotions after the fight, I know you had built yourself up to such a peak, and then to have it end the way it did, like how much does that hurt you?
Yeah, I'm devastated. I mean, you know, I feel like I worked my ass off for this fight. I stepped up when no one else would, and I took a big risk tonight, and just didn't go my way, but I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back stronger, you know.
How much did the struggle to make the weight affect you in the cage tonight?
Yeah, I feel like that was a huge factor. The staph infection really didn't help. I've been fighting it for about a week now, and it didn't make the weight cut no easier. So, like I said, I'm sitting here now about 185 pounds, a little too big for the weight class now. I've been fighting at this weight class since I started MMA at 17, so it's about time for me to go up. I'm, you know, getting stronger and bigger. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe that played a factor, but regardless, Tony Ferguson was the better fighter tonight. I said it before. I thought he was the toughest fight in this division. I tried to step up and you know, what can I do?
So I'm still not sure if Tony Ferguson's Hawaiian or Mexican, or he's got a Scottish name.
He's a strange looking dude, isn't he?
He's a strange weird dude. Guy.
Yeah, he's a strange.
I've seen all his interviews. He's a really weird
he
person.
He makes me feel uncomfortable, eh?
I think he's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But I also think that's part of the reason he's so brilliant at what he does. He's a brown belt in the 10th planet system of jiu-jitsu.
Which is, those guys I think that's under, awesome. I was going to say, he is awesome off his back. He was like his jiu-jitsu from his back.
It and
was
damage.
So creative.
And the damage, even the elbow damage that he did. Even though you frowned upon that, don't you?
Sometimes? What's that?
Elbows from the bottom?
Elbows from the bottom. Well, it's not that I frowned upon it. I just think that.
What, when you're on your back and your elbow going to go on the head?
I said, yeah, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to gas out just doing that. It's sort of like that drowning. You know, you're just there.
I'm happy to gas out putting money boxes on someone.
I think Tony picks his shots. So he was there doing it, but then he was readjusting his hips and moving in for other things. So he was kind of using it to create opportunities.
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas Ben just does it to create splits in the top of your head.
Skull.
But yeah, I was what I was impressed with most. Not surprised
by it. And
Kevin
said that had a huge impact.
I picked that would happen, a third round submission. That's what we all agreed on.
Yeah.
And he was just awesome off his back.
Yep.
I was just so impressed with. He ended up getting the triangle. And the arm was actually on the other side that would conventionally be on. And I haven't seen that before, but it was.
Because usually the arm goes across. Here's me. Let's do a video demonstration. But usually the arm goes across to help like lock the choke in, but he put it to the outside, which is really weird.
To put it to the outside, and he put the pressure just with his leg on the other side of the neck.
Yeah.
Would that make
it more of a blood choke?
Yeah, I think so. I think, the carotid artery there. But
let's do a demo.
Doing a demo.
I'll do it to you, mate.
It was so effective and it worked. Yeah, it worked to a T. And it clearly looked like something that he drilled a few times at training.
Yeah. We'll talk about drilling stuff later on.
I can't wait. There's something I need to tell you about.
I messed up something. But obviously next, he called out Conor McGregor afterwards. I'm not going to play it because you'll beat the whole thing.
Yeah.
But basically called out Conor. Conor's the, you know.
Weirdest call out.
Yeah. Where you at, McNugget? You POS? Anyway. So Red Panty Night could be next.
Yep.
Dana said Conor and Ferguson. No, Nate hasn't even been spoken about.
Yeah, right, okay. So you think Ferguson?
Well, I don't know, because Ferguson is still no draw. Like,
but Conor's team was saying Nate, so I reckon even though Dana White's trying to put the video on Nate Diaz, it sounds to me like Dana's going to push for Tony Ferguson, but Conor does what Conor wants. So.
Yeah.
And I think that's the much bigger money fight, well and truly.
Conor
3 will make five times as much money as Ferguson, even for the title.
But I think Conor would have no problems with Ferguson anyway, as long as he doesn't get taken down, because Ferguson was giving up a lot of shots.
He gets
And if he gives up those shots to Connor as opposed to, you know, Kevin Lee, he's going to end up just out cold.
So. Completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that. So moving on to this semi-main event, the rescheduled flyweight championship from, it was supposed to be UFC 215, but it went to 216. It was briefly linked to TJ Dillashaw, the former bantamweight champion, up one weight division. Eventually went to Ray Borg. This was Mighty Mouse's 11th straight title defense, breaking the Anderson Silva's record of 10, which also included in Anderson's reign was he went up weight division twice.
Yeah.
And killed, looked like a god.
Yeah.
And last time you were here, Duke, you slagged Mighty Mouse. Oh, you just don't like him.
No, I... Yeah.
Has your opinion changed after what he did on the weekend?
He turned chicken shit into chicken salad in my eyes. Yeah. It was nothing fire.
Is that the best submission ever?
Mate, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. As I said, because...
Suplex in the armbar.
They're two things that I do. Literally two of my main attacks, and I've gone, oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's all right. And I'm like saying, nah, he just did that off the spur, off the cuff. He's a genius. And he's fine like you, sir. And then Rudik and Duke were like, nah, you had to drill that. I'm like, nah, man, he's awesome.
Yeah, so Ben and I were going back and forth. Then it's an intellectual discussion. Ben goes, no, I don't think he's drilled that ever. I think that's just something he's just come up with, gone with the flow of the fight.
Yep.
And I said, no, I reckon he's drilled that a million times.
And I was 100%.
And we'll go back and forth. First thing that happens when Mighty Mouse gets on the microphone, yeah, I drilled that many times at training.
About a billion times.
Shut up.
So, okay, I admit I was wrong. There's one occasion. So hopefully they can, I don't know, I think Mighty Mouse still wants, he got actually paid $370,000, which is a career high for Mighty Mouse. So good for him. Who bloody deserves it?
And he didn't say anything about his next fight. On purpose, he kept saying, no, I want to enjoy this one. But I did hear before the fight, he was saying the winner of Cejudo and Pettis.
And Cejudo looks awesome.
He looks like a different kettle of fish, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looked like a guy three fights ago, just a mad wrestler, couldn't throw a punch. Now, mate, he's got sick boxing.
He's got sick boxing, and he's still an Olympic gold medalist wrestler. So I'd like to see that fight again.
Yeah, me too.
But I'd still see how Dillashaw goes against Cody, because if he wins that fight, I'd like to see him go super down and try fight. And get two. Yeah, super fight for sure.
I reckon whoever wins that super fight should be next.
Yeah, yep.
Even if Mighty Mouse goes, oh, they've never made the weight, this and that.
It doesn't matter.
Dude, it's a super fight. That's a super You've already fight. Got the record. Yeah. Man, and give you pay-per-view points, that would be sensational.
And I'd pick whoever was coming down, just for the record, Cody or
Yeah, because they're going to be bigger going in, aren't they?
I just think their division's a lot stronger as well.
Yep.
So
and DJ's lost against like Cruz and that. Just you could see the size difference between the two guys.
Size difference, and I just think the guy that up there, they hit harder. Those flyweights, man. What are they? 54 kilos on the scales?
Yeah.
59?
Or 50 fuck all.
50?
Yeah, my left leg.
Anything under 60 is not a man.
Well, that's a lot.
We're going to get that on a t-shirt.
That's a lot harsher than Costa. If you're under 100, you're not even human. And I'm like, Costa, you were 84 kilos when you were sick in hospital. Sick. And you still didn't have abs. So the next real big one is November 4th. It's Bisping versus GSP. They put out an awesome promo. We're going to play the whole thing because the video is great that goes with it, but the audio is awesome too. So
don't like the voiceover though. This is that guy that you said sucks.
No, this guy he's pretty transformery, but he's still heaps better than the one Golden Boy put out.
Okay.
Golden Boy was this guy. On more steroids.
Okay, all right.
One gold.
Yeah.
He was a hooker with a heart of gold.
Like that.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's have a little listen to this trailer.
He is a true martial artist in every sense of the word.
I want George St. Pierre to be remembered as the best. I've done a few things that I wanted to do, but I'm not done yet.
It should be impossible to forget how gifted he was.
Tonight, the future has become the present.
How unrelenting.
George St. Pierre is a special fighter.
How absolutely brilliant in every facet of the art of fighting.
In a lot of ways, he is the perfect fighting machine.
It was the golden era. Challengers, one after the other, more and more dangerous.
For the better part of a decade, he was the standard by which all the others were desperate to be measured.
Am I ready for a title shot or what?
GSP, I'll fly to your house. I'll hire a ref, and we'll do something about it.
Are you ready, sir? Fight!
And yet they all discovered the same undeniable truth.
It is going to be so hard for anyone to stop this.
But all through his reign, perfection and expectation melded into one.
People expect George not only to win, they expect him to win easily. They expect him to win every round.
So with each defense of his title, the pressure grew. And in 2013, at the peak of his powers, it finally got the best of George St. Pierre.
I need to hang up my glove for a little bit.
Are you retiring right now? Is that what you're saying?
GSP, long appeared, had understood his time had come. Or perhaps his journey was not yet complete.
Martial arts to George is part of his identity. I don't think George can ever give up martial arts.
If you want to be the best, you need to be obsessed.
George took the time to reinvent himself, to make himself better, to fight differently.
I feel the strongest I've ever been, the sharpest I've ever been. I have a beautiful life, but I'm hungry for more mixed martial arts success.
Now, 4 years after his last fight, George St. Pierre is returning for the most difficult challenge he's ever faced.
Just one more time before I go, I'll let you know.
Michael Bisping has won more fights than anyone else in UFC history. A ferocious champion, 15 pounds heavier than St. Pierre, and uninterested in giving an icon any measure of respect.
George retired when he did because he couldn't take the pressure. You can't start feeling sorry for yourself because you're the champion. You're in the position that everybody wants to be in. He shows what a little bitch he is.
On November 4th at Madison Square Garden, a legend returns to the octagon, seeking a triumphant return, staking so much of his fabled legacy.
There's a lot of risk. That's why it excites me. The higher the risk, the higher the reward.
This whole storyline, stepping up a weight class after 4 years out of retirement. Wow, what a legend. So
while you were away, I was man enough to still be fighting those guys.
But to George St. Pierre, returning is about reminding the world what his brilliance can make possible.
It's going to be a new George St. Pierre.
We can all dream, but dreams don't always come true, George.
Yeah, it's not $5 cash, but it's getting up there, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's, yeah. It's pretty close. Liev Schreiber's going to be the all-time great.
He is the best. Yeah. Liev Schreiber was awesome on that stuff for Canelo's fight.
Completely agree. But yeah. What are your thoughts on this fight, Duke?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I think GSP is going to come back and do what GSP does. Just
dry hone him.
Completely, yeah. It won't be pretty, but he'll win.
How long has he been out for?
4 years.
4 years. 2013.
Yeah, wow.
But I reckon the sportsman. And Bisping's not whatever. Everyone still thinks Bisping, yeah. Englishman, idiot. Pillow yeah. fist, yeah. can't wrestle, just a okay at everything. He's not that guy.
Because you rate him, don't you?
Yeah. Mate, he is the toughest son of a bitch in the UFC.
There's no question how tough he is.
He's the winningest fighter in the UFC ever.
Yeah, wow.
He's won the most fights. He's lost a few, but he's won the most.
And he's lost a few brutally and yeah. come back. He's a fucking warrior, man.
But as I said, GSP doesn't take risks. And this fight for him, that's why he's taking it. It's not a risk. That's in my idea. That's
how does GSP win this fight?
Dry hump.
By decision. Five rounds. Yep. Takes him down. Because Bisping's biggest weakness is his wrestling.
Yeah.
As you said, I think he's closed the gap. And it's not that, you know, well, he beat Henderson. Henderson's an unreal wrestler.
Yeah.
But I do think he's going to just take him down and do what GSP does.
But I reckon similar to your thought process with DJ and going up a weight division, I reckon Bisping's a much bigger man. GSP's packed on a lot of muscle for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what Bisping said. House,
that's what Bisping said. He goes, oh, it's funny. As soon as Asada comes in, GSP disappears.
I can't fight for a little while.
Yeah. So, and okay. GSP's always had question marks on him. The guy's an Adonis.
Yeah.
And he's got it looks like he's got the GH belly, when your organs get bigger, you're ripped, but your gut pokes out.
Yeah.
Looks a bit weird. I reckon Bisping's going to mess him. I reckon he's going to get taken down a few times, but I reckon Bisping's going to stop. You can't take 4 years off and go straight back in at the top level against a bigger man.
One thing we can agree on, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it will be a good fight.
It's another big fight.
Unless GSP wins, it's going to be shit.
And that's November 5, isn't it?
Our time.
Yeah, no, our 5. Yeah, November 4 America, November 5 here. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and that's it.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Got to say big ups to Ian, Sess and the crew at The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, for sponsoring the podcast. How many eggs this week, Benny?
I eat about 30. Well, I buy 36 a week, but I eat like 5 a day. So is that all of them? Might have one left over a week.
Yeah, right. What do you do with that one? Throw it at the neighbours?
No, I eat that. I ain't wasting no eggs.
Yeah, not
especially when they're as good as the ones from the butcher shop.
Yeah, they get them from a mob called Grassy's Grass-Fed Eggs, and they're bloody sensational. Like they're actual. They've got actual colour to them, like when you have chooks in your backyard, really unlike the yellow crap you get at the supermarket. But it's pretty much
they're happy chickens.
They are, Benny. It's pretty much what the butcher shop do with all of their stuff. The meat, again, comes off bodies, doesn't come out of boxes, and the stuff they make up that's pre-prepared that you can whack in the oven during the week is absolutely sensational.
And are they still looking for some new staff?
Mate, they are. I think they found one butcher, but they're after another qualified butcher at the butcher shop, bloke, Dixon and Kayleen. Yeah, or girl. Like,
or girl.
Mate, Rachel. And Rachel that works at Dixon, she's one of the best butchers I've ever seen. She's awesome. A gun.
Yeah.
An absolute gun. Yeah. I'm not sure what she's done with her haircut because it looks like yours at the moment.
I want to fuck
Well,
her. She's a badass.
Well,
and she's got knives.
I think I might talk to my old man because he definitely loves chopping up meat in the backyard. So maybe he might want a part-time job at the butcher shop.
if you want to get in there and try it, Canberra's Best Meat, they smoke all their small goods on premises, their chorizo, the cabana, the bacon, it's all smoked there over wood chips and the big smoker. Out the back of Dixon, you just sit out the back of that place and just sniff. Yeah. It smells awesome. Dixon is open 6 days a week. Kayleen is open 7 days a week, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
All right, it's the most stressful point of the week for me when I'm sitting across from Ben Edwards and I've got to come up with a top five that makes him happy, especially when they're not about sex or depravity, Duke, because if they're about sex and depravity, Benny's happy. Anything that's not that,
believe me,
it's hard.
There's no Duke question. Would be happy too.
He's a sick man, eh?
Well, see, every week, you know, and when Payos is here, let's be honest, Payos has got lats for days. I'm surrounded by three Adonises every week when we record this podcast. So, you know, quite often I can get a little bit scared in my manliness. So I looked up the international rules of manliness again just to but ones that I've heard from people I trust over the years. So I just wanted to go through those. So it's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
Yeah, it's the top 5 international rules of manliness. If you don't do these, don't record a podcast with these two Muppets sitting across from me because you'll feel like not even like a man. You'll feel weird.
Oh, let me have them.
Number 5, under no circumstances may two men share an umbrella unless it's Bathurst and your pies are getting wet, then it's only for the eating period.
No umbrellas.
Is that all right?
No umbrellas.
I get a nod. I just get a nod going, shut up and do something about sex.
Lucky you can fight, eh? Because he gets like in the dick a little bit too much.
Number four, it's okay for a man to cry under the following circumstances. A, when a heroic dog dies to save its master. B, the moment Scarlett Johansson starts unbuttoning a blouse. C, after wrecking your boss's car. And D, 1 hour, 12 minutes and 37 seconds into the crying game.
I couldn't get past the start of the crying game.
No,
I remember
Benny?
You referencing a time for the crying game at some stage.
I probably brought it up because it had that much of a... It scarred me, Ben.
What happened?
That movie. I'm not going to tell you. I need you to go and look it up yourself. But
I actually bought the DVD, watched 5 minutes of it, and then my mate Costa goes, mate, what are you watching that shit for? So I didn't watch.
Let's go to 72 minutes and 37 seconds, Benny.
Stop listening to Costa.
Number 3 in the top 5 international rules of manliness. If you've known a bloke for more than 24 hours, you can't root his sister unless you marry her.
Well, that's a bit awkward.
Ben Edwards.
Because Duke's sister was my first Tinder match.
Really? Oh, I'm glad we got a rule about this. So we did break a rule.
I'd only known him for 19 minutes.
Well, that's all right then.
And she left the country.
Called that.
Number 2, the girl who replies to the question, what do you want for Christmas? With, if you love me, you know what you want, gets an Xbox. End of story. If you don't do that, you're not a bloke.
Okay.
Because no.
What?
That's a hard one to get across the men. And there's the drum roll. Number 1 in the top 5 international rules of manliness. There is no reason for guys to watch ice skating or men's gymnastics ever. End of story. Period.
Yeah, I'll pass. Give that a pass.
Yeah.
I'll write one about sex next week.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
Filling in for Stevie Payos this week is our good friend Duke Didier. That means it's Talking Takedowns, I do believe. Is that correct, Duke?
It's Talking Takedowns with Canberra's favourite fighting son.
Beep that out, man. We'll re-edit over that.
Say it enough, it's going to come true. what I thought I'd do, because it's my segment.
Yep.
Because it's my show. I'm in segment.
Because I've let you guys in on my show. I thought I'd do a little bit of like one to watch in the Canberra fight scene. So there's a few guys, as Ben and I sort of, we're dealing with them every week, and we've got a few guys that we train with, a few guys we see around, a few guys that, you know, that I train with on the national scene.
Yep.
They're coming through, they're red hot, and I just, you know, keep an eye out for them. And,
give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Bit of kudos.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's fighting's not like the footy and whatnot. The sooner you guys can sort of get an eye on these guys, it's pretty cool to watch these people develop. And, you know, you'll be watching them on the pro scene. You're watching your Dave Toussaint's and
mate, it's whatnot. Like it's like with the bands. Like if you've, you know, especially I've been into music forever, and then when you see a band and great. Next Final. Thing, like them, like I saw one of Silverchair's first gigs.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch.
When they walked out at 13 on the stage of a nightclub in Newcastle, and we were... Typical us. We were laughing, going, dude, check out these Muppets. Until the minute they played their first note, we went, holy shit.
Yeah.
These dudes are amazing.
And that's the thing.
Completely agree. Stop saying Muppets.
And by the moment you see it, you say, yeah, you'll follow their career.
Yeah.
So first up, for Dukes, one to watch. I want you to do like official, like, you know, one of those segment things.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Yeah, we'll give you a bit of it.
Da, 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 da.
I've just used that. I'll just use that each time.
So the first one is someone near and dear to me. My actual son. My son. His name's Sam Dobb. And
Duke started rooting at 10.
Sam's 19 years old.
Okay.
He weighs 103 kilos.
Yep.
He's a monster.
And he's the junior Oceania judo champ. So I met Sam when he was about 15. He came into Hill Sports Academy.
Yep.
He's a footy player, did a bit of judo. And then it got to the point, this little weapon is my main training partner.
Yeah, right.
And so I was when I was trying to qualify for Rio, and also just before that, I was coming through, and there's none of these big fellas doing it at a high enough level for me to train with. My coaches, the Hill Brothers, they're old, and I love them to death, and they've got a gym to run.
Yep.
So I was actually very lucky to have young Sam come in here, and he obviously loved getting the rub.
What does that mean?
oh man. He loved getting a little bit of...
You've been out watching too much Game of Thrones. You're House Lannister.
You have completely wrecked my segment, eh?
Sorry. Your son loves a rub.
No, iron sharpens iron, but it's good. It's good to have a junior coming through that I can sort of pass on a bit of knowledge to. You sick f***. Anyway, a bit more about Sam. So Sam's the junior Oceania champ, junior national champ. He went to the Junior Worlds for judo, but he's also in the Reds, the Queensland Reds under 20 development system.
Wow!
So he's a pretty special little athlete. He lifts some big weights, and he's just the thing I like about him is he doesn't really have much respect from any people, but as soon as he steps on the mat, anyone that that's a bit above him, he'll give the respect that he deserves.
Yep.
I had a call from his rugby coach once that. He wasn't giving the respect he would. And I asked him, I said, mate, what's wrong? He told his rugby coach to F off, and he said, oh, he promised me the world, and he gave me an atlas. This is an 18-year-old kid. Anyway, he's pretty funny. But and another good thing I like about him, he's tough as nails.
Yeah.
Ben, we brought him in for MMA sparring.
Yep. Yeah.
Just the other week, we broke him out of the AIS. He was there for a development camp.
Yep.
And he came in, did his full day of judo sessions, and he came in and trained with us, MMA.
Yeah, right.
Nah, did it. You could tell the kid, he's only young, but you can tell he's been an athlete for a long time. I'm hitting him all over the place, just ate him, just... I'd tell him things on the run, he'd do it straight away.
Yeah, right.
Just, yeah, look, huge potential. And, so and very, 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 very okay. coachable. Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, so...
Tough
and,
ass.
And, well, his goals are to sort of make a goal of rugby. It'd either be rugby league or rugby union. He's good at both.
Yeah.
And then he wants to just move into professional fighting. And the way it works, he can do that. He can make a career out of both.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to pick one.
Yeah.
If he's in a development system and he's still training pretty hard up there in both judo and MMA, more power to him. Try and get some money out of the rugby and then... And then
fund your fight career through and a rugby league career.
For a guy who's come through with the grappling scene, he's striking, man.
Yeah.
Huge potential, man. Like not very, as I said, mate, very trainable, learns on the run.
Very
doesn't
mature.
Care if he gets hit.
Very mature he's been for
brought
a
through, yeah, he's been brought through with tough sports,
he's
man.
Good so attitude. And, I've actually fought him in the finals of the national titles.
Yeah,
that's okay. The senior nationals. He made it all the way through and I had to fight.
Does he have a nickname?
We haven't given him a nickname. Oh, yeah, he's my son.
Does he have a good one?
The son of Canberra's favourite fighting son.
Yeah, I think we're going to need to work on that.
I'll get him a T-shirt.
Is that an acronym?
Anyway, Sam Dobb. Keep an eye on him because I reckon my son's going to do big things in the future.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, we've got another sporting question this time around, but about basketball. Dave on the email says the NBA is about to start again, boys. And I know it's hard to put sports stars from different eras up against each other, but who do you rank the best between Jordan, Bryant, and LeBron? That's three very tidy players right there. Benny, you're looking at me like that's the look you have when Payos talks about cricket. That's the same look.
I know, yeah. I got nothing to add.
Nothing to add?
I reckon Jordan was just a pioneer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the first mainstream guy from my era. Like, if you got primary school kids in Australia who are obsessed with basketball cards and shit,
I don't know, that's
some groundbreaking stuff. But I don't know how.
But as I said, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but I grew up watching, you know, Michael Jordan and that.
Yeah.
But I also keep an eye on it. I watch.
You've rooted some of the Capitals.
Anyway, no, but the way I look at it, and I look at it like in any sport,
yeah.
As generations progress, as people get better, you can't compare.
The skill sets change.
Your skill sets change.
Every training sport, changes.
As we said off air, you can't compare Ali to Tyson because the sport, you don't compare Michael Jordan to LeBron James because the sports, I feel it just goes to the next level. Yeah, people, that's human nature. Sports people science. People develop and people get better. That's,
and we're all getting bigger. We're naturally bigger.
Well, we're still, we're not done evolving yet.
No, that's right.
Never will be.
So, yeah, it is a hard one to say. I mean, all of those three players, you'd pick if you were, you know, playing in the school side, you'd pick any one of them to be on your side.
Any tall
up.
Black guys in my team.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the same deal. Jordan just sort of, I think he paved the way for a lot of these guys to have the careers they had with the career he had, if that makes any sense, especially guys like LeBron now who's getting into acting, who wants to go to the Lakers next year because he's got so many investments over in California. He's a pretty bloody good actor, LeBron. He's a much better actor than bloody Jordan was.
Yeah, or NBA Jam. Well, no, Space Jam. That was good.
Yeah. let's not get too carried away, shall we?
When you're 12, it was
good. When you're 12, it was all right. But that is a hard one. It's like saying Wally Lewis, Joey Johns, that kind of vibe, you know. But
Same thing. You know, Ben Edwards, Duke Didio. It's the next.
It's a mismatch.
It's evolve. It's just.
It's a mismatch.
That's an insult to me,
Dave. I don't think we answered your question at all. But I think you'd have to say Jordan is a bit of a trendsetter when it comes to that. He's a real pioneer in terms of.
But that's also a sign of the times too. Mm. The internet was just starting to take off.
Correct.
And all that sort of thing. So who's to say someone else couldn't have done it in a different time? But with the way the world was at and technology was at,
I used to have a big Chicago Bull painted on the wall.
Every
kid my age did.
I had all the cards.
NBA Jam for Sega Mega Drive. Everyone.
Yeah. I remember getting a pair of Air Jordans when I was like 17 after I got my first casual job.
Yeah.
Mum and dad. I think they cost me like 170, and I'm talking 1989.
I was jealous. My KT26s weren't looking the best next to them.
Mum wouldn't buy me Nikes because they were made in sweatshops.
Oh really?
I'm pretty sure like Reebok and every other
all of them are.
Yeah. Thanks, Mum.
Oh dearie me. Well listen, Rob from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy is going to be joining us next, but right now a charming ditty from Marilyn Manson from his brand new album. Did you hear about what happened to him last week?
I watched it.
Does that count
as gun violence?
Yeah, because there was this big prop on stage of two fake revolvers
Two big foam things, but the scaffold that held them up looked pretty bloody heavy.
That's so rock and roll.
Well, that truss is aluminium. But when you've got a big chunk of it, and it comes down on top of you.
I like Marilyn Manson. Hey, I listen to his music. Yeah. I just like that rock and roll sort of.
I know my daughter's a huge fan. She saw him in concert and said he was amazing.
No, which one? Heaps of songs.
Beautiful People, man.
No, yeah. Heaps of songs.
Name three songs.
Well, what about this?
The Dope Show.
Yeah, Dope Show.
Don't like the drugs, but the drugs like me. Beautiful People.
I can see why you like that one.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Oh, hey, noise pollution.
Hey, he's very good at coming up with a catchy song title, and this one is no different. We Know Where You F***ing Live. I've actually used that before. When I get the people call up trying to sell me, you know, Windows protection when I've got Macs that ring up. Oh, we're calling from the team of the Department of the Windows. F*** off.
I know where you live.
Yeah. Let's just play this down the phone to them.
Place like this. going around people like us. So what's a nice place like this? Doing round people like us.
That was Marilyn Manson with We Know Where You Fucking Live. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Ben, Scotty, Duke, and special guest.
Indeed. It's Rob Oakley from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy.
Of Big O.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Ella last year, she did really well at the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night. Rob, mate, thanks for coming in and joining us this week. It's getting bloody close, October 21 this year at the Hellenic Club. How's it all looking?
Yeah, we're at the pointy end now. And look, it's looking really good. We've got a few tables sold. We've got 10 fights lined up, and we're looking forward to a really good night. We've got a lot of seats for sale, though, so we need people to get right behind us.
Obviously, I set a pretty high bar last year, mate. who's the main event this year?
I was only talking to Brani a couple of days ago about what a good fight it was. And
that was a
great
fight.
Too, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Duke was... I don't know if Duke remembers if he was there last year.
There's a special guest appearance.
Duke had a few refreshments.
It was a great night. Had a great time.
I was talking about all these wonderful experiences overseas and all the great countries he's been to.
Don't give me an open mic when I'm drinking. Eh?
You were fine when I spoke to you. You were fine. I blame Payos. When Payos went for the second interview, he'd had a few too many.
The more eyes on him, he gets excited.
No, it's one time I was not raised to like swear in that kind of environment.
No.
And like I said, your mother did not raise you to be swearing on a microphone. But people don't listen. It's the middle of between the fights. No one listens anyway.
They listen to you, mate.
They do. Everyone listened.
Now, Rob, when we sort of started this about 4 years ago, three and a half years ago, I first met you when I was at the radio station, and you know, we decided to do this, and you reached out to me because my dad's got muscular dystrophy, and obviously it was something pretty close to my heart, and it's gone really well. But as you said, plenty of ring tickets to sell for seats this year. How much are seats at the Hellenic Club?
Yeah, look, we've got ringside seats for $50, but we're going to have a special deal on Friday. If you get online to the Hellenic Club, you can get two for the price of one. So
Okay. Basically
$25 each for a reserved seat this Friday only, though.
Okay, so that's the day after this podcast comes out.
Get on board with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, there'll be some general admission on the night as well, of course.
Okay, nice work. Benny, the Hellenic Club, you've fought there plenty of times. Have you ever fought at the Hellenic Club, Duke?
Yeah, I fought there once as well.
Yeah.
That's where he speared on my training bag after his fight.
I've played there plenty of times, played there with the Jets and Barnsley. It's a great bloody room, and it's obviously got a big history of fights here in the National Capital, so it's good to see those boys supporting it. I know the crew at Olive at Mawson are on board, and a new major sponsor this year, Rob, who's that?
Yeah, look, we've got a great sponsor in One Stop Auto and Tyres in Fishwick there next to Repco. They've come on board and supported us, and they've been fantastic with plenty of help. So I know I'll be taking my cars down there, and probably a good place to go. But they'll be there on the night as well, and we'll have a few prizes to give away as well. So they've been a great help.
Now, I'm going to miss this fight this year. I had a concert that we bought tickets for like a year ago, and it sadly fell on this night because originally this wasn't going to be the 21st. I think it got moved a couple of times.
Yeah, it's been moved a couple of times. I mean, we had a few problems with the venue, and we thought we'd go to the Hellenic, and then we had one night and another night. Then this one came up, so we thought, well, it's probably as good as any Saturday the 21st, so that's it. So, yeah, we just need as many people to get along now. It's a pretty big room, pretty empty when there's no one in there. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is it all boxing fights?
All boxing tonight, this time, yep.
And all amateur fights as well, isn't
it? All amateur fights, yeah. We've got Ben Reed up in Sydney now, is bringing some blokes down from Sydney, and he reckons that they're the goods. stop laughing.
No, but we're only laughing because last time Duke was here, he was telling us a story about Ben was telling us a story about when he lived with Ben Reed. And it was quite interesting. So that's what we're laughing about.
Yeah.
And we can't repeat that story because I had to bleep it out then and I'd have to do the same thing now.
Ben Reed stories.
Oh, really?
Awesome. At Hellenic Club.
Mate, he called me out.
True story, I was there.
Not for a boxing fight, MMA.
Really? He's a brave boy.
He's a good bloke.
He's a lunatic, but he does a lot of good things.
Yeah, he's a lunatic, but he's a good bloke. And he's been 100% behind us. And yeah, I mean, he's another bloke that's really worked hard for us and, you know, putting these fights together. So it's quite a pain in the ass, really. So he's been great with that. Yeah.
I believe we've got a couple of ladies having the biff this time around as
well. Yeah, we do. We've got a couple of ladies. We've got a couple of young teenagers. We've got the
Fighting at the Hill Sports Academy. Both of the girls there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Duke's having a good look at the poster. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the poster's good. But yeah, now we've got a few out of Hill Sports. We got a couple from Winunga, Stockade.
Yep, cool.
Full Throttle's been really good. Brian Roberts over there. And Drew Smith was it Fight Smith? Is it?
I'm not too sure.
No idea, Benny. No.
Cream of the crop, though.
Indeed. Well, it'll be a great night. And the thing is, I mean, even over the years when people just, you know, when the first one happened and there were people that had never stepped inside a ring before, it was interesting watching the process of those guys getting trained up and then seeing what happened when the first punch landed on them. And that first year, everyone handled themselves really, really well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I reckon no one handled the experience better than your daughter, mate. She was she didn't even appear slightly nervous before. It got in there.
Apart from the one thing, I mean, she's a big girl and she can throw a punch, you know. And and I said, well, what are you doing? Why didn't you punch her like you meant it? She said, I didn't want to hurt her.
Yeah. And she was not even slightly stressed.
No. And she was, you know, like 2 hours later, she's still standing there in the singlet and the shorts in the room telling someone how she threw a left jab and then a right hook. And
yeah. She loved it.
Yeah, indeed. And her boyfriend did really, really well too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He took the approach that I don't want this bloke to hit me. I'm just going to have at it from the word go. And I was actually standing beside the other bloke's corner and the coach said to his trainer, said to him, mate, he said, you've got to close the gap. And he said, fuck that, you close the gap.
Well, it'll be an entertaining night because you've got a lot of people, some people having their first fight, and it's for a great cause. Now, you were just saying before we started recording, Rob, some interesting stuff coming up for Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy with possible ACT government involvement.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a couple of things on. The University of Canberra started to do some trial programs for people with muscular dystrophy, looking at the benefits of exercise and nutrition, all those sorts of things, and that's really got some you know, wider ramifications nationally. There's a lot of people waiting for us to get that trial underway. It happens in a couple of weeks, and then we're talking to the ACT government about a full blown clinic in Canberra, because there's no real clinical services at all in Canberra for someone with muscular dystrophy. You've got to make it up as you go along, basically. So that's really exciting that the government said, okay, well, we recognise there's a problem. Let's see what we can do to fix it.
Yeah, that is good, because we've mentioned it before, and that's the thing. Muscular dystrophy, there's not just one type of it. There's about 9 different versions of it. None of them have a cure, and there's been a lot of research going into them over the years, but not a lot of headway's been made with it so far, has it, Rob?
No, not a lot. And, I mean, that's, you know, research costs, you know, millions of dollars. So what we can do on an everyday basis is help people deal with it on an everyday basis until that research comes good. And that's really where most of the funding goes. So, I mean, we're looking at, we provide equipment to people where they need it, whether it's medical or otherwise. And, you know, when we're getting involved in respite care and school holiday camps for kids, we're trying to get a weekend sports program going for kids in electric wheelchairs as well with Capital Football.
Yeah, nice.
There's a lot of things going on, and basically they all cost money, and that's why I'm sitting here talking to you like I'm a fight promoter.
Nice, very, very nice.
I've got no idea what I'm doing.
Well, to our two professional pugilists in the room, any advice for the amateurs who are stepping into the ring on Saturday, October 21 at the Hellenic Club?
Duke, do you have any advice for the boxers, mate?
I've got more technical advice, but my advice would be just what I always tell guys that are having their first fight is don't sit in the back room thinking about the fight. Think about something else. Get it off your mind until you go out there. Otherwise, you get yourself into a nervous fit of implosion.
And then spill in your mate's bag.
After the fight, when you've won your fifth professional MMA fight, you can throw up on your mate's bag.
I'll be doing something.
You can throw up on your mate's bag if you want. If you're still undefeated.
We'll find out more about that later in the show, I do believe. So this Friday, so tomorrow, when this podcast comes out, it's Thursday. Tomorrow, Hellenic Club, you can get reserve seats, 2 for the price of 1, $25 each. You can head to Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy on Facebook. Find out all the info and follow the links off our Facebook page as well. So get along and get amongst it. Fight Night 3 at the Hellenic Club for Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. Rob, thanks for your time, mate.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for your support and the work that you put into it, Scotty. And boys, thanks very much.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
Well, that is just about it for episode 14. Thanks to the crew at The Butcher Shop. Next week, Payos is back for his final episode for the year. Then the final episode will be Duke will be back with us. Then we will do a Christmas episode, but that's going to be pretty loose, I think, because that will be after Ben, your fight November 17, and Duke.
Duke's fight TBA.
Yeah, so around December sometime. So hopefully we'll be able to record one after those have happened.
Hopefully I don't green out.
And we can...
hopefully I get arrested.
Hey, speaking of arrest, did I hear you of something going down at Wolf on Saturday night on the, around the traps?
Yeah.
Did I hear a rumour?
Yeah, there was a fight.
No, I heard. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, there was a fight out in the taxi rank. And all this chick just...
So Saturday night.
Yeah.
Ben the snitch Edwards. Here we go. What happened, mate?
I hate the police. Fuck the police. Not NWA.
I didn't say that. Said that.
You're straight out fucking right. Not Compton, mate.
Go on.
Anyway, so there's just a group of people in the line having a fight, and I was going up to break it up or whatever.
Yeah,
and then, but the cops are right there, and I get along with all the cops on the beat at the moment. There was a few numpties, but they've pissed. I think Marvin got fired, but the guys on the beat now, I get along pretty well with them, unlike Duke. So anyway, they had
no
a fight.
Comment, ladies. But no comment,
actually made a mistake in this situation because they bought the capsicum, like immediately capsicum spray everyone.
Yeah.
The cops, everyone. I was coughing 20 metres away.
Oh, that stuff. I got done on the radio. That shit is horrible.
You shouldn't have to pull it out immediately. Like,
it's not a nice
thing. Man. I
could have broken
sometimes
that fight
just up. Standing in between the two people fighting will break it up 100%. Instead of going straight to the... But that's just how it's happening now.
I could have broken that up with no one getting sprayed in the bloody face. Guarantee you, man. Yeah. Do it all the time.
But 100%. Like I've seen it that many times where these things... I know they deal with a lot, but I tell you what, there's sometimes these things are preventable and... Capsicum spraying the entire of Northbourne Avenue isn't going to fix it.
Yeah, but again, I mean, until you're in the situation, I know you were there, but you're not that guy or girl. You don't have their training some people are going to react differently.
I know they're pretty tough dudes.
To scary conditions, you know? Yeah. So what happened? Cap sprayed.
The cops got involved just to break up the fight, but then one of the groups turned against the cops and started fighting with the cops. They were all flying up on their push bikes.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was the band Safia.
Safia got in a fight with the coppers on Saturday night.
Yeah, right out the front.
That you would expect from, you know, like AC/DC, Guns N' Roses. Not Safia. I've met those boys a few times.
I gotta get over.
Yeah, you can tell by that. They're just very violent.
They're lovers, not fighters, Safia. But they got in a bit of a battle.
Absolute legend. I had a drink with him. I used to play at Little Brooklyn before they were.
Oh, man.
Great bloke.
Yeah, had him in at the radio station a few times. Yeah,
nice dudes. And they're just trying to get a little bit of rock and roll streak around, eh?
They got it. They got one
just ahead of the Australian Concert Summer Series.
Exactly right. You know, they're just trying to do like a Motley Crue
sort of. I'm gonna play Devil's Advocate against Safia and Duke.
Yeah.
If you just do what the cops say, it's probably not.
Ben. Ben the Angel Edwards. No worries, mate.
Hey, every time I got arrested, I was very compliant.
The only time I got cap sprayed, I was doing training like for promotional purposes.
Was that when you got in the bear cat and
did all of that. Yeah, we got to blow stuff up. We've got That'd to ride awesome. Around the lake on the rib boats and that. It was sensational. The only thing that sucked was the cap spray.
I couldn't believe how strong that was. I just got a waft of it from 20 meters.
Why did the red
Everyone was coughing. My dad made me a bit of a paranoid kid sometimes, but he told me you could blind someone with cayenne pepper. So every time I'd go for a run or a walk when I was a kid,
take cayenne pepper
I'd have
like
a pocket full of cayenne pepper wrapped in a thing of plastic. I'm like 13 running around bloody Melba. I never had to use it, luckily, but lucky for them.
I was so 13. I got that issues, man. Yeah, I would have been living in Melbourne at that stage.
Yeah, lucky, mate.
I'm surprised.
You didn't attack some 13-year-old kid. Yeah.
Do you still have that pepper in your pocket?
No, I got rid of it.
Knock you out.
All right.
So there's some news for you.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
streak red through the roof.
Armbar of the week. Every time
it's
Duke's
a
suplex into armbar transition.
I can't make that sound effect. I've got your armbar sound effect.
Armbar.
Duke will give you the sound effect.
Whoopa armbar.
All right, cool.
You don't say armbar.
I've got the armbar
punch,
sound effect.
Punch. Uppercut.
Crack, crack, crack.
Oh, I'm glad we got two episodes left. So who are we talking about, Juki?
When are we going to be talking about just when the tragedy in Vegas?
Yeah.
Dan Bilzerian and a couple of others didn't really help out. They sort of just self-promoted.
Yeah, they got on Instagram and went, hey, look at me. I'm an Instagram star. Give me a gun.
I think he literally said that, eh?
I pretty much those words. It's like I know he's got – military training and all that sort of stuff. But
he was three days off making it to be a SEAL.
When that dude is shooting and those bullets are flying, now's you don't not, walk up to a cop and ask for a gun.
Now's not the time to talk about your social media following.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's a bit shit where they grab, first thing your instinct is grab a camera and look at me.
Well, that was his mate. Like,
he needs the arm bust from Suplex Transition.
Yeah, mate was following. It wasn't Bilzerian filming.
Oh, there you go. Well, but even worse than the self, well, it is kind of self promotion.
Well, he put it on Instagram afterwards. Of course,
yeah, but this other guy that the video I saw it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, it's not on YouTube, but just this guy walking around filming people that had been shot and dying and, you know,
really?
Like checking for a pulse when they're obviously dead. Like you could see they were dead.
Wow.
And it's just this, and it was like a 5-minute video, and he's walking around like sort of asking people if they're okay, but it was more just
that's criminal,
putting a camera in a dead person's face.
Yeah, like, for the sake of views and for all that sort of stuff.
And then he put it straight on the internet. That's I reckon what Bill Zerian did pretty shit.
Well, it's disrespectful to their families as well.
Imagine seeing that. You'd want that guy's head on a plate, man.
It's not
acceptable.
That's heaps worse than Bill Zerian. Bill Zerian, self-promotion, bit of a whore.
Yeah.
But this guy was next level, man. You're disgracing a dead body.
Yeah.
With the premise of like, oh, I'm actually trying to help him. No, you're f***ing not, man.
Yeah, you're just trying to get a big Instagram following. Yeah. All right, Duke, give me your suplex sound effect.
Yeah. Whoopla.
All right.
It was like a choke.
Let's try it again. All right.
That's the noise.
Oh, that's the noise?
You crunch.
I don't know what happened tonight. Thanks to Rob for coming in from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. Duke, thanks for coming in and filling in for Stevie again, mate. And we will be back next week. Obviously, Benny, any fights you're looking at this weekend?
Yeah, probably.
Probably?
No, I haven't thought that far ahead.
There'll be something.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 10 seconds, man.
Are there fights on?
Don't know.
We'll find some fights somewhere.
We'll find something.
There'll be something to talk about. A couple of episodes left for the year and a Christmas special coming up thanks to the butcher shop. So I'm going to say get a big black dog up, yeah?
And I'm going
to
say crunch.
I'm going to say thank you for having me, everyone. I really enjoyed the show.
That's how he talks to women, isn't it?
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time. So long.